This is the discussion that followed Paul Bowman's talk on the current economic crisis. You'll find the audio for the talk itself on Indie Media, but also on the WSM website at www.wsm.ie.
Just like a comment I did there, it was really, really good and totally covered everything, and I thought it was very good indeed. One thing I think that's worth bearing in mind so far is that the crisis, I think, hasn't started yet, really. Like, we're probably heading into, I think, you know, a 10 years of capitalism being seriously depressed. And the reason being, it's not just the banks that did this debt leverage thing. Like, that became the standard neoliberal model of all companies, that basically any capital you have, you try and use that to get as much debt as possible. Because, and what we've seen now isn't so, basically, is that debt has been across the board reevaluation of risk. Everything is seen as riskier. Okay, so the economic model that made sense to have a vast amount of debt and you pay less tax and you just service that debt and you make greater profit from a smaller amount of capital, that just doesn't work anymore. And pretty much all the big American corporations in particular have balance sheets that are just enormously full of debt. So they might have, like, you know, a few hundred million in capital, but they might have billions and billions in debt. That economic model is just broken for the foreseeable future. Those markets aren't going to be fixed. Like, nobody's even thinking that they're going to be fixed in any time soon. So what we're going to see over the next, like, 5-10 years is these corporations trying to unwind, as they say, just get rid of this debt, which means cutting back, means closing factories, it means economic shrinkage. And the other thing I think we're going to see as the United States in particular, I mean, this is going to happen across the world, but particularly in the U.S. economy, that's going to happen, is they're going to have to finance that and at the same time fight all these wars, and they can't do both at once. So, I mean, they're just so expensive. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're in for good times. Like, they're as likely to start striking out at people crazy, like, you know, China is passing its aid economically, or it's catching us up. We're basically, our economy is shrinking, but we still have a big big army that, let's get them while we're ahead. So we have ended the period of 1989, the end of history and so on, and we are going to be into a much more turbulent period where there isn't a hegemony, and we have great things like Great Depressions and resource wars springing up, like, here, there and everywhere.
Connor, I'll just take a few questions. This is quite late, and yeah, people are wrecked, but I'll take a couple of them.
Just a really quick question, because the Irish government thing is 400 billion. The American thing that was knocked down was 700 billion. Now, I know they're saying you'd never get all that 400 billion, the maximum might be 14 or 15 or something. The thing that interests me, though, is that the Irish government as well, including the Green Party, actually aren't just guaranteeing the deposits, but they guarantee the banks that their debts. And what they're guaranteeing them is all the debts that the Irish banks have bought in. So they basically said, the Irish government is the first government in the world to say that the ordinary Irish taxpayer is going to carry a load of that debt for a whole load of banks all over the world via those banks. Or that's the way it appears to be. Just it's one of the maddest things I've ever heard in my life.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, they've basically nationalized the debt and the liabilities while keeping the profits private.
So we have to.
It just seems to me it's like all this money out there that isn't backed up by anything real or tangible. It's really just the emperor has no clothes, and now somebody has shouted it out, and they've all gone, "Oh fuck! What do we do? Why did you have to tell somebody?" Because yeah, we are heading into, I believe, a long recession, and it's going to be a fairly deep one. Because even if none of this shit had happened, none of it at all, if none of that existed, we've been back sort of in the 1960s, 1970s, when, you know, you didn't have globalization, nation states could, to a fair degree, regulate their economies. Like, you know, it was time you needed central bank permission, I think, to bring more than 100 quid out of Ireland, like, even on your holidays. So even if none of this happened, the rate of profit is falling, because the way money chases after success and then becomes more competitive, the rate of profit falls. And we're seeing it now, like, the current pay we propose is a pay cut, 11-month pay freeze in the public sector, followed by a below-inflation pay rise. below inflation pay rise for the private sector. We're being hyped up for cutbacks in all sorts of services, like 1,000 redundancies announced in the HSE this week. You know, in the HSE of all fucking places. And what we're going to get into is, like Paul was saying, all sorts of soft, wishy-washy liberal lefties are going to be coming up with all sorts of plans to sort of rescue capitalism with a human face. Now, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to just keep turning around. Sort of, it's your fucking system. You control it. You control it the way like you never have before. You've just shown that you just fucking, you shouldn't even be left in charge of a fucking playgroup, let alone an international economy. That capitalism has tried everything. It's tried sort of national economies, globalised economies, Keynesianism, neoliberalism, you name it, it's tried it. Even on its own terms, in terms of what it promises, hasn't got a fucking hope that, you know, it puts us in the situation now where we can talk realistically about a completely alternative social and economic model without being seen as just sort of like a religious group that has got a nice idea. I think for the first time maybe in a generation that there's going to be a real opening there where people, all the things people took as certainties that were just natural have been, well, they haven't been shattered, they're beginning to be shattered. And I think we find a far more and more receptive audience as long as we tie that critique in with people's day-to-day concerns, things like the pay deal and like health cuts.
Just really quickly, I say that on Saturday we were giving out the papers which had recession. Initially when the paper came out, I didn't think it was the best headline, right? But there was six or seven of us giving out the paper, and I was there going, it's official, recession has come, now our chance to bail out the banks. Now, looking back on it, I look like a fucking prophet. I'm surprised I haven't met people since Saturday who want to follow me into some fucking strange dark alley and perform. But anyway, but little did I know, I was talking to a guy who worked in the bank today, and he said he knew, like he said, the amount of toxic shit that they have in the Irish bank system is phenomenal, he said. And like, this idea that they're just going to, you know, be able to package it off and separated out is complete nonsense. And he said the day it changed for them was the day that Beverly Cooper Flynn was held up as an example to them of what they should do, which is sell. We're all salespeople now. We're not bankers anymore. We're not talking about like being good with figures and backing things up. So there was a distinct break in the ideological line as to what you did as a bank and what you do now, which is you became salespeople and you sold fucking credit to everybody. And the other thing is that I think is it provides a massive opportunity for us, because if we really go in hard with all our propaganda and hopefully get the radio show up and everything else, people are desperate to hear what's really going on. Because if you listen to Moaning Ireland, you're not going to get a fucking clue what's going on, because you're being sold as this bullshit that's been labelled as, maybe the Irish model will be a great, you know, seen as an example of a great model and other countries will come in and do the same thing. And like, exactly like Crossy said, 400 billion for a fucking island off the west coast of Europe, which is like 65% of what the US are trying to sort out themselves.
So it's just of a million for each man, woman and child.
It's only twice general GDP.
Exactly, yeah, whatever it is. It's just lunacy. So people know that they're not going to get the answers there. So if we just keep flogging our message, I think we're going to have a very receptive audience, because people aren't stupid. Not like the way Pravda treats them or RT treats them.
Yeah, without David appointed, I think that's really important. All that is, thanks, Paul, for all the work on that. It's all very complicated. But in reality, you know, it's actually very simple. It's a big fucking gamble. And the whole thing is built on a big gamble. I think our opportunity is that anti-capitalism, you know, I mean, that the word anti-capitalism, the phrase anti-capitalism is out there and everywhere is like, what the fuck is wrong with, you know. So there's a phase of capitalism has come to an end. Capitalism hasn't by any means. And that's an important point we need to make. I think really it's important that we talk now about the pay deal and about why it's so important now to have political organisations, trade unions, etc., to stand up for the working class, because we've been made to pay the fucking mess. So it's actually a really, really simple message where we will have trade union leaders and everybody else saying, shit, we've got to take this deal, it's the best we can get, we're lucky to have a job, we're lucky that they're not coming back after us for more. We've got to be given the message that, you know, now more than ever, it's important that we have strong organisations campaigning on our behalf, because otherwise they're going to come and screw us over completely. The other opening there is, we sort of, I think Czechs or yourself referred to it jokingly at the end, in terms of sort of being the socialist party version of socialism. Well, I mean, it's true, because if your version of socialism is called is to call for nationalisation, here it is. So it opens up that debate, which was sort of theoretical to some extent. Even when we're talking about the gas, the debate between nationalisation and socialisation, and what's the difference. Well, now here's a really concrete example of what we mean when we talk about the difference between socialisation and nationalisation. And I think that's a really important point for us to make.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Workers' Solidarity Movement. For more similar content, go to www.wsm.ie and search for audio.